I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain.
Many people could not tell you what they had for dinner last night, but Rick Barron of Cleveland has a very special mind. Rick can tell you what he had on this day last year or even last decade. He's been checked. At age 50, Barron says he remembers practically every detail of every day of his life since age 11. Apparently, there is something about his schnoggin. It gives him what's known as, there's a scientific name for it, super autobiographical memory.
Wow.
He is one of only three known people in the world with this ability. You can call if you would like to test it. Name a date, and this guy will tell you what happened. Rick Barron, welcome to the Bob Rivers Show. Hello.
Hello. Good morning. Pardon my raspy voice. Yesterday I was on the phone quite a bit, so I got a big water bottle here, and so bear with me.
People want to talk to you so much to see what you can do.
Oh, okay.
That you're wearing out your voice?
Yeah, yesterday, boy, after the article, I was flooded with inquiries, and yours turned out to be one of the most interesting, so I turned my phone off about 10 o'clock last night, and I said, I got to prep up for the big interview with Bob Rivers, who, when I heard your name, I said to myself, there's a radio station here in Ohio, Akron, that every Christmas... I know that guy. I hear Aqua Claws and Homeless for the Holidays and Walking Wounds Under, and sure enough, it's you.
Wow. I'm honored, but that maybe not so much, because
he remembers everything.
Well, you probably remember
every
Chipmunks and everybody.
Sure. Spike Jones.
Right.
Well, thank you very much. That's very nice, Rick. But this is about you. Wow, but that is also nice about me. And our guys here who do all of those songs are really... really grateful that you do. So you like comedy?
Right, very much so.
And can you remember when you were 11 years old?
Yes.
What was the funny stuff that you were listening to then?
Well, ironically, that would have been Tuesday, December 17th, 1968. This also born on a Tuesday, December 17th, 1957. And Rowan and Martin's Laughin' had debuted after taking over from The Man from U.N.C.L.E. Let's see, Monday, January 22nd, 1968, the same day of the Pueblo, if you remember the Korean crisis.
The USS Pueblo, Korean crisis, yes.
Right, great
movie, starring Steve
McQueen.
What's that?
Pardon?
Spike, you're looking skeptical.
No. Great movie, starring Steve McQueen.
No, but I mean, are you pulling all this out of your head?
No, I know. As I told the California people, kind of an admitted oddball, because I've never Googled, I know what all the terms mean, been on the internet, looked something up on the computer, as I said on the phone, it's kind of, you read something, you see something in person, or hear about it, and it just... you know, is retained,
wow.
Be retrieved whenever you want to talk about it.
Hey, I'm going to ask you the same thing I would ask Superman. When did you first start to realize that you were different?
Well, fluently, as I told the writer of the article, in 1970, at age 12 and a half, well, technically 11 and a half to 12, I could figure out the future calendar, what things will be like. For example, in 1970, I'm Jewish, so I was given my bar mitzvah date, which was Saturday, December 26, 1970. So I immediately recollected that the Browns won the NFL championship on Sunday, December 27th, 1964. So therefore, 1970 has to overlap with 1964. And then, ironically, while in eighth grade, we were studying the movie In Cold Blood. And that happened on Sunday, November 15th, 1959. So I could surmise at that age that in 70 and 64, November 15th was a Sunday, so therefore 59 overlapped with 64 and 70, and it was like a domino effect at that age.
You started to realize that you knew what day of the week it would be in any year anybody could name.
Right, and then also to the future, as a kid then, what will be the day of my 50th birthday? What will be...
What day of the week will be your 75th birthday? Can you tell me that?
Oh, boy, I haven't... Well, let's see, it would be 25 years from 2007, which would be 2030.
Listen to his mind work.
And, let's see, 32 doesn't go anything equally, so... Thursday.
All we heard was a little rumblings on the surface. Thursday.
Right. It's a domino effect, the type of thing, guys. When, you know, at that age, it would just be notable events that anybody would know in the past. The stock market crash of Friday, October 29th, 29.
Right.
Pearl Harbor, a Sunday, obviously. The Hindenburg, a Thursday. So if you can get one date from the 20s.
Now, can you remember something like, what did you eat for breakfast the day you got married?
I'm single.
I could have told you that.
You're single.
Date, though, in one of these
but days. My wife would love a guy who she could say, I need eggs, milk, sausage, and don't get the kind that isn't kosher. And I would, you know, and I would
No. He'd remember what you weighed when you got married.
It would be difficult. Okay.
Yeah.
So is there a challenge having a relationship? Does your brain take up too much space for two?
No. I don't. You know, in social contexts, you know, I don't, you know, boy, I was fixed up with a blind date, you know. You know, hey, let's talk about 1966. No, it only comes up in the scientific context or to win a prize or something.
Aye.
But, you know, I know that it's, you know, I know when to talk about this kind of thing.
Well, and that's one thing I read about you is your living is kind of your what we would call in the radio business kind of a prize pig. I mean, you enter sweepstakes, you use your abilities to win trivia contests.
Well, of skill. I mean, I have, you know, lotteries, drawings, that kind of thing, a zero. But the things in the article relate to some sort of trivia, you know, as opposed to just a drawing or...
Right, right. In other words, there has to be a game of skill in order for you to be able to pull it off. But you can do that better than anybody. Have you thought about getting on Jeopardy or something like that?
Well, one time I got through to when Regis was big time in 98, to the 888 number. It was like 2 in the morning, and I finally got through, and the thing I got, they had 6 rivers, no pun intended, the Euphrates, the Yellow, whatever, and you were to rank on your phone the proximity of the river to the United States. So obviously I didn't know that, you know, which of the 6 rivers is closest to the United States. So they figure if somebody could get that, they'd be worth pursuing. So I failed. So I never was able to get through again. And in terms of Jeopardy.
So even though you have this amazing mind, you're pointing out that it's a superpower in a sense, but like most superheroes, you're limited to your superpower, which is that your mind has this domino-like effect wherein it can make calculations,
right.
and the calculations that most people can't make fast, and it can also historically recall everything that happens to you.
Well, this is something that I'd really like to talk to you about when I was told your radio station emanates from Seattle.
We emanate from here, yes, we do.
Right. The thing that the California Irvine people were most impressed with was categorizing things. So right off the top of my head, I'd never been to Seattle, but I just thought about some, you know, if anything in my life that I read or heard about Seattle, and like for certain things that...
In other words, if you had any Seattle experiences, you could dig them up.
Right. I know Jimi Hendrix was born on Friday, November 27, 1942, as Johnny Allen. Hart was originally called White Hart. The Pilots and the Mariners were both 64 and 98, their first season. A guy named Diego Segui was the only player that played for the Pilots and the Mariners. Rupert Jones...
Casey's looking at you. Tell me, do you think he's just looking this stuff up?
I could categorize, like, in my head.
Yeah.
These
are Seattle things.
I just think it's boring. I want to know about emotions. I want to know, like...
Hey, I want to know more about the Mariners.
The Seattle World's Fair started on Saturday, April 21st, 1962. It ended 6 months later to the day on, Sunday, October 21st, 1962. The first nationally televised event at the King Dome, which I know is demolished now, was, I remember this like it was yesterday.
Awesome.
Gary Gilmore was executed on Martin Luther King Day, Monday.
All right, and now if you are Googling this, it's not impressive,
Bowl,
but if he really remembers this stuff, it's phenomenal.
The Pro Bowl was at the Kingdom, and a guy named Mel Blount of the Steelers was the MVP. I remember watching it on TV. Lenny Wilkins, a Cleveland tie, he took over the Sonics.
Right.
On Friday, November 18th, 1970.
I don't know if you can even Google all this stuff.
5-17.
No way.
Okay. I believe him.
They ended up. He replaced Bob Hopkins, who replaced Bill Russell.
Oh, this guy's not even a fan.
Guys, I'll wrap this up in a minute.
Thank you.
I was a senior in college.
I can see Casey's. By the way, the look on Casey's face tells me why you're single. But let's go ahead, finish, because you're blowing us away. You are blowing us away. But she wants to ask you, I think, a very important question. And
okay,
so finish up. Give yourself another 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Friday, June 1st, 1979, it was on tape delay. The Sonics won their only NBA title. And on the Pilots, they had a lot of Indians in the 1968 draft. They had Mike Keegan, who's now an announcer, Gary Bell, Tommy Harper, and they traded Lou Piniella, who became the Rookie of the Year to Kansas City. What else about Seattle? Perry Como. I was living in Florida.
All right, we're done.
Please,
we're done.
Please.
You know why we're done? We're done because...
Rick, there's no stopping.
Rick's on a roll.
He's on a roll. He wants to get them all in. Rick.
Perry Como died.
No,
Saturday,
we believe you.
We believe you.
Saturday, May 12th.
And I envy him right now.
By the way, Rick...
Bobby Sherman from Here Come the Brides played Seattle. He played Jeremy Bull.
Hello?
Rick, hang on, buddy.
Okay.
Rick, this is... First off, nothing more you can say will raise the level of how impressed we are.
As soon as we
realized there was more stuff there than you could possibly Google.
Your ABL team was called the Seattle Reign of the Women's Basketball.
You know what?
R-E-I-G-H.
There's no room for emotion.
If I can, sir, I'm
getting a sense of what it would be like to date you, because we would be, you know, reminiscing about our...
Let me finish.
This has been the longest 20 minutes.
And that would be the other part you'd never get to finish.
I know. And I would say, Pumpkin, do you remember...
And by the way, the girl always needs to finish, just so you know.
Thanks, Bob. I would say, Pumpkin, do you remember our first date? And you'd say, you were wearing a red dress. I ordered the steak. I want to know if you, because I just literally last night read about another woman who has what you have, and she was talking about how it's hard because every time she has a memory, she relives the emotion exactly as she felt it at that time. Do you feel what you felt?
No. I live for the present and the future. Anything, you know, a thought, it's retrievable and unretrievable at the blink of an eye. And guys and girls, how about this? Today is May 14th.
Right? Yes, sir.
Ask me from the present to 1965, pick any year, and I'll tell you what was going on in my life, in the world. And
all right, this will be interesting. Joe, go ahead.
That's what I understand. If I give you a date, you can tell me what happened.
Well, today's May 14th, so let's do
it. You may have prepped for May 14th. Let's pick a random date.
I have no notes here, everything.
Okay. All right. Joe, pick a random date.
It's not random to me. It's a very special date. The date my daughter was born was February 15th, 1999. Can you tell me a little bit about February 15th, 1999?
Well, it was a Monday.
It was.
A day like any other day.
And let's see. I liked pro wrestling. It was the day after WWF pay-per-view. It was President's Day.
Yes, it was. So
obviously, all the banks were closed. In Cleveland, it was the height of winter. And it was President's Day, just a very nonchalant day.
She was born at 12:01 p.m. on Monday, President's Day, February 15th, 1999.
So you're sold there. There's
no
way to look that
just
up.
Just right off the bat.
Ask him a day where there's no way to look it up quick enough. Eric?
How about...
I have nothing to look it up on.
No, I believe you. Okay. I just want to prove it.
Okay.
Trust but verify.
Okay.
Who said that?
Pardon?
Who said trust but verify?
Dick Cheney.
Well, Ronald Reagan.
I'm so excited.
Mr. But Excitement.
Missed it. Okay.
All right. How about September 17th, 1970? That's random.
It's an easy one. A Thursday. It was.
Great man.
Speaking of Jimi Hendrix died the next day.
Whoa.
And that's the day Jimmy bought the spank that killed him.
It was at Eric Burden, the first person to find his body.
Hold on. Now this is getting good. Rick,
yeah.
Will you take calls from listeners with special dates in their lives?
Okay.
Would you do that? Can you hang on for about 5 minutes?
Sure.
Hold on. Rick Barron in Beechwood, Ohio. Rick Barron has what you call an autobiographical memory. In fact, scientists label it a super autobiographical memory. So if you remember a specific day in your life, what day of the week it was, and what major event happened on that day, let's check it out. 1-800-252-1025.
They call me Mr. Know-It-All. I will not compromise. I will not be told what to do. I shall not step aside.
The man we are talking with, Rick Barron in Beechwood, Ohio, is practically a superhero. Let's face it. When it comes to brains, he has optional equipment. He has superpowers. He has things that none of us can imagine having. I'm trying to, but I can't. He has what's known in science as a super autobiographical memory. That doesn't mean that he knows everything. It means that he can remember, catalog, and pretty instantly access everything he has experienced. Imagine being able to do that. Imagine being able to remember every moment of your waking life. Imagine being able to remember all of the trivia, all of the facts, as well as all of the things that shape history.
I was, bemoaning the fact that we couldn't fact-check him during our little break there, that we couldn't have somebody look. I'd like to bust him on being wrong, but it would take like 20 researchers to hunt down all the stuff he just threw off the top of his head. And I'd be willing to bet a lot of money that he's completely accurate.
In the beginning of our interview, Rick.
Yes, hello.
In the beginning, I thought, I'm a skeptic because I live in the world of news and politics, and just about everybody we talk about is full of it.
Right.
And sometimes we are too. It's living.
Well, there's another man, Brad Williams, who. He had a head start on me also. He's a radio announcer, and he was deemed, with this kind of thing, too. And he is kind of unfazed by it, like me,
Well, we're going to get to that, because I want to know how you feel about it. But first, we do have listeners standing by.
Okay.
These listeners are going to tell you extremely important days in their lives, and you can flash back to that page in your superpower memory. First up is Kyle in Federal Way. Kyle, hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good.
How old are you, Kyle?
12.
Are you listening to this guy?
Yes.
What do you think?
Pretty amazing.
What are you doing, Kyle?
Good.
Kyle, say hi to Rick. Rick, Kyle's going to ask you about a date. Is this your birthday, Kyle?
Yes.
Go ahead.
February 21st, 1996.
Pardon?
February 21st, 1996, the day Kyle was born. He wants to know about it.
Wednesday.
It was a Wednesday? Can you verify that, Kyle?
Not at this instant. I'm in bed sick.
Oh. Is your mother there?
No. She went back.
Allowing you to...
Here, call the radio.
Call the radio. Okay. So you don't know if it was a Wednesday. What else can he tell you about it?
Well, I know what I was doing. I was living in Richmond Heights, Ohio, and again, 2 days after President's Day, I remember the first time in the car I was driving, the low fuel light went on. It was a 90 Chrysler New Yorker.
Okay.
It's about 60,000 miles, so I immediately went to fill it up, not realizing that the low fuel indicator says that you got about... Well, in those days, I'm guessing gas was about a buck.
Okay, got it, got it. Yeah. Kyle, thank you. None of that is verifiable, but...
Right.
But it demonstrates what you said.
Right.
You said you remember your day. And if there was something important that happened on that day that made the news that, you saw, you'd remember that, too.
Well, I know what I did. I went to a dinner theater in Akron, Ohio to see South Pacific. And cold again, the middle of winter in Cleveland. But it definitely was a Wednesday, I'm positive.
All right.
I can tell you what Kyle's mom was doing. You bastard! I hate you!
She was
screaming,
chewing on ice chips,
yeah,
clutching a pillow. Scott in Kirkland, hello.
Hello.
You're on.
All right. Hey, I'm looking at March 21st, 1968.
March 21st, 1968, was a Thursday. It was 5 days after the My Lai massacre, the unfortunate Vietnam with Lieutenant William Calley. And that was the big news story that week. President Johnson announced he wouldn't seek re-election 10 days later on Sunday, March 31st. And that's about it. Obviously, the first day of spring.
Wow.
That's too obvious. That's
obvious.
Too easy. Anybody knows March 21st. Scott, do you know any of that to be true?
I'm sure it is from what I'm hearing, yeah.
See, it's an important day in your life, and he remembers way more about it than you do.
Absolutely.
Amazing. 1-800-252-1025. Folks, call up if there's a distinguishing fact, like the day of the week, or an important event, and you want to see if Rick has it. I'm sure you will now, Rick. I'm thoroughly sold. John in Federal Way, hello.
How you doing, Bob?
Good.
Morning, Rick.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
How's the weather there in Seattle? Just out of curiosity.
Cloudy right now. Chance of showers today, but we're expecting a clearing trend and some warm weather over the next few days.
In Cleveland, it got real cold. It's in the 50s, like 52.
Weather seems to be a trigger for you. You kind of remember the weather every day too,
well,
don't you?
No, just several weeks ago it was in the 80s, and here we go with there's frost every morning when you wake up now.
All right, Jamie. Oh no, John. John, go ahead.
Yeah. How about December 18th, 1967?
December 18th, 1967.
What day was that for you, John?
That was the day I was. Came into this world.
Oh. Monday.
What day?
A Monday.
Was it a Monday, John?
As far as I know, it was.
Otis Redding, the famous soul singer, tying it to Cleveland, he was on Upbeat, which was a precursor of all the TV concert shows nowadays. He was flying to Detroit for a Motown concert. Unfortunately, his plane went down, so that was the big story in the media. Then,
Hold on.
On December 3rd, which would be 15 days prior to this man being born, the first... You guys probably know that. Anybody would know this. The first heart transplant, Dr. Christian Barnard, to a man named Louis Warshawski in, it was in the U.K.
And he lived for what, 30 or 40 days?
Transplant. No, this was the big news in the day this man was born, and because Louis Warshawski survived throughout December, and the first human heart transplant took place on December 3rd.
Okay. Let's move on.
Which was 15 days before this man was born.
This is amazing stuff. I want to hear a listener who's blown away because they remember. What you're all calling with stuff, but you don't even know what day it is.
Right. It's got to be a verifiable date in your mind.
Jamie, you have a date that is what?
January 29th, 1988.
And do you remember what day of the week it was?
It was a Friday, 2 days before the Super Bowl in San Diego between the Doug Williams Super Bowl when the Redskins had 35 points in the second quarter.
Five touchdown passes in the second quarter.
Do you remember this one?
Oh, yeah, it's a great day in black history.
Is that true, Jamie?
Yeah, my mom told me that that was the day I was born, and my dad was at the hospital holding me watching the Super Bowl.
Also, January 29th was the 9-year anniversary, and in my book, one of the most bizarre incidents in history. Do you remember a woman named Brenda Spencer? I was a senior in college, Monday, January 29th, 1979, in Toledo, Ohio, and she shot up, she was 16 years old. She shot up a San Diego elementary school, ironically called Cleveland Elementary School, and her rationale was, I don't like Mondays. This livens up the day.
Right.
Hence the Bob Geldof.
Boomtown Rats.
Which, of course, anybody knows. Okay. Now, the lines are full, of course. We don't have time to talk to everybody, but let's run a few quick ones by you.
Okay.
Sarah in Redmond, say the day.
November 24th, 1977.
Oh, boy. First of all, it was a Thursday, and it was Thanksgiving.
It was. It was. That is my birthday, which actually brings me up to another question. One thing I've never been able to figure out is how many times exactly my birthday has been on Thanksgiving.
I know it's 1983 and 1988, and let's see. Then it took a hiatus.
Because you have to factor in leap years, too, to figure this out. You can't
wait, it was the 19... her birthday, you know, repeated itself as something in 83, 88. Let's see. 94 and 2005.
Yes.
Oh! He knew that.
Wow.
Sarah, what do you think?
I think that's pretty impressive, just because...
Okay, but you don't think it's... Yeah, you don't think it's hot, though, do you?
I don't know about hot, but I think it's pretty impressive, just because all of those dates move every year. It's not
Sarah,
the same day, so that's pretty cool.
All right, Sarah?
If you're ever in Cleveland, look me up. I'll bore you to death.
Spike, you had a question you have to ask.
I have to know, Rick, when was the last time...
What was the last day?
Last day. What day of the week was it when you got laid?
Let's see. February 30th.
Dead of winter.
February 30th never existed.
So, Rick, I don't mean to
wait,
pry.
Everybody knows that.
Wait a minute. Well, when he said February 30th, it ain't happened. Is that what I'm... Rick,
no,
not to be disrespectful. Have you saved yourself?
Just being funny.
Oh, okay. He doesn't want to answer that. He shouldn't have to answer that.
Yeah.
Rick, this is unbelievable stuff. I wish we could stay on forever, but we can't.
Oh, boy. It was such a pleasure, and now every Christmas when I hear your music, I'll always think of this special day.
Rick,
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun.
I would like to have you on speed dial, because I'd like to have you back again, was my next question. Will you come back once in a while just to blow us away?
Sure. We'll keep in. May I ask, do any of you, for whatever reason, business, social, ever come to Cleveland? Not that anybody would want to, but do you?
Yes.
You do? Have you ever been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Not yet. It's on my list.
How about a Indians game, a Browns game, a Cavs game?
Rick, I will meet you next time I'm in Cleveland. First off, I'm fascinated by this. One of the things that we didn't get to in the questioning, and I want to ask you one, Eric wants to ask you one, but we're going to have to thank the audience because we could take those calls all day.
That was a lot of fun.
One of the things I didn't ask you about was...
Yes.
Accessing this, feeling this power.
It just naturally is there. There's no trick. There's no racking your brain. No notes. Just whenever, you know, I'm asked a question about chronologically, I could, somehow switch from, age 11 to age 41, I to be honest with you guys, I don't know how I do it. It's just very natural.
Do you feel a calling? Do you feel that you should use these powers somehow for the good of humanity?
My MRI, it's just this past Monday, I got a correspondence from the UC Irvine people that my MRI, the fact that I'm left-handed and Brad is left-handed makes it interesting to them. And within several months, there's going to be research done on left-handed people doing this. and the MRI, the Harvard is studying my MRI, and, you know, hopefully there'll be documentation about, you know, our brain structures.
You have a longer vision in many ways than most of us could ever imagine. How do you feel about the meaning of life and the hereafter, or lack thereof?
Well, theologically speaking, well, they say that memory decreases once you approach 30 in most people. And I guess being 50, almost 50 and a half next month, that's yet to happen. So I don't eat, you know, an abundance of carrots or mind food or whatever. I, you know, certainly not a, you know, a vegetarian by any means. I have, my sister is a very much more educated than me.
Uh-huh.
Master's degree. She teaches English lit, aerobics. She has no, you know, record. She just has an average memory.
Is Brad, it hard for you to stay focused?
Answer the question.
I'm guessing you're not a guy who ever did a lot of drinking or any kind of...
No. You could put all the liquor I've had in my life in a Dixie cup.
No. Do you believe in a power greater than yourself, and do you believe
No. This is I'm a one-trick pony. You know, this is about it. I certainly will never be a plumber, will never be a gardener, I'll never be a mechanic. You know, I just have average aptitude skills in those kind of things.
All right. Eric has the last... I'm going to give you the last question because Eric has been chomping at the bit.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Rick, first of all, I have family in Cleveland, so
you
I
do?
Get there
what
from
part?
Time to time. Yeah. But
God. Oh, no.
Yeah.
These two are going to get together.
No. Well... Anyway, the single most difficult issue I have to deal with is going to sleep at night. My brain is constantly firing.
Right.
How is it when you try to sleep? Can you shut it off? And if you do, how?
Well, as said in the article and in person to the scientists there, other than in the scientific context or, you know, winning something, It's a non-factor. It has no relevance on my current life. A la Brad Williams, when asked about it, it comes up. But in my own life, it's as mundane as, you know, putting socks on, showering, that kind of thing.
Go to sleep. In other words, your mind doesn't race.
On anything.
Your mind doesn't race at the end of the day.
Right.
Right.
Just like anybody else.
Rick Barron in Beechwood, Ohio. Rick, fascinating meeting you. We're going to keep you on speed dial. I won't be able to remember your number, so hold on. Mike will write it down.
Okay, and Seattle SLU, you know, another Seattle, let's see, you won the Triple Crown 31 years ago in a couple of weeks on June 11th, 1977. So that's another Seattle tie.
William Shatner, interviewed by who?
Everybody. He's got a new book out.
Oh.
It's kind of his biography, so I wouldn't be surprised if he starts making the rounds back this way soon.
We might talk to him again. The biography is called Up Till Now, because I'm not dead yet, kind of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
William Shatner says, contrary to what you might think, he never had much fun nailing all those Star Trek groupies.
Meaning he didn't?
Meaning
or he did and it wasn't that fun?
Exactly. Meaning he did what you say you wish you had done.
Nail Star Trek groupies?
Nailed William Shatner.
That's the last thing I want to do, trust me.
But you know what I mean. He was promiscuous.
Yes.
But he went where many men had gone before.
That's right. And he said it ain't all it's... cracked up to be?
Yeah, that just reminds me of when I went to church in college and the pastor was telling us how sex was bad before marriage. And my wife and I had sex before marriage, but we realized now it was wrong. And I kept thinking, but you still did it. Like, you still got to do it. So I know that people regret, but I don't think they really regret it. I mean, I don't think you really look back and regret it.
I don't know if this will help, but Yul Brynner got to smoke.
Yeah.
He got to do it.
He looked really happy.
At the end.
Jack Klugman got to, too, and he's still around, but have you talked to him lately?
He sounds a lot like that.
Oh.
Sex is like smoking.
Okay.
Another meaningless analogy. Hey, by the way, thank you for the compliment, though.
Which one?
You said talking to me was like talking to a wall, and I kept thinking about that, and I thought, a wall is solid? A wall knows where it stands.
Dependable.
Wall is dependable. Yeah. A wall holds the whole building up.
Yeah.
Gets very little credit for
actually,
it.
Actually, a wall.
Security. Yeah.
Now that I think of it, a wall doesn't talk back, so I take it back. I take back
I also
my
thought
analogy.
That, I also thought that talking to you was a little like talking to a ping pong ball, only the ping pong ball makes more sense, because I know it's going from here to here.
That's very sweet. I appreciate
it. No, but
it,
with a woman, and I'm going to categorize you.
But not to mean you.
Because we're frequently not having the same conversation.
Right.
And I do this with my wife all the time, too, because she'll jump from what she had telegraphed the topic to be. She's on a different topic by the time I think I'm answering the answer which she's already got, which wasn't what I thought she wanted.
I think you're trying too hard. I think it's just no need. And John does this, too. We'll be talking about something, and I'll mention something as an aside, and I'll say, well, what about this? I'm like, I don't know.
Yes.
I don't care.
I get the same thing from Lisa, by the way. It was interesting because it allows me to classify you as a woman. Because then if I don't try hard enough, then I'm in deeper trouble.
Oh, yeah.
Oh really?
Oh, yeah.
I sit there, too, in these times, and I sit there and just, like, try to pry my ears open. I concentrate, you know.
What is it she really wants from me here?
I'm listening hard, you know. Then you get that look of, you know, that starts to make her mad because just in trying to listen hard, you start to look like you're not listening or something. It's a vicious
cycle.
Well,
it makes her feel threatened that you're paying attention to her.
Yeah, and you're staring her in the eyes and you're listening hard.
Try not to blink or break a sweat.
Dr. Mehmet Oz is one of Oprah Winfrey's all-time favorite guests. In fact, you might have seen him on with her yesterday. I saw him on with Colbert the other day. He's a professor and vice chairman of surgery at Columbia University, so he still does the work. And he's an internationally renowned expert on heart health and internal medicine. Dr. Oz has contributed to many medical journals and best-selling books, the most recent of which is his book called You, The Owner's Manual, An Insider's Guide to the Body That Will Make You Healthier and Younger. If the title sounds familiar, that's because this is the updated and expanded edition with more than 75 pages of new... Now, did you expand this, Dr. Oz, because of the expanding waistlines of the American public?
That's right. Well, we figured so many Americans could be seen by Google Earth that we owed it to us to create some kind of a game plan.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
I saw you the other day, and actually Joe wants to follow up a question, because you were on Colbert, and you know how he never lets anyone get a word in edgewise. You were talking about sex, and you were talking about how someone can actually add years to their life by sex.
That's right. Well, I was specifically mentioning it to him for his personal use. But the reality is that the average American has sex about once a week. That's when he got all excited. And if you can increase that to twice a week.
He high-fived you at that moment. Like, he was done. That was fantastic. Thank you for being on the show.
He was high-fived. Yeah. Right, truly in character. But you can double that, actually, increase your life expectancy by about 3 years. So there are a lot of insights about how the body functions. And if we can sort of make them clear to the average American, even the Colberts of the world will appreciate their value and maybe, just maybe, start examining what they do in their life a little more carefully.
Can you give me any statistics of less than once a week? Is it decreasing the life? I mean, some ammo here I can take home and use?
Joe, in Mississippi, you should have been on the show. These numbers actually were derived from North Carolina, so it definitely applies for the southeast part of the country, but the rest of the country as well. It turns out that for women, it's not the amount of sex, it's the quality of sex.
Thank you.
And so when we talk about the amount, there are some guys, obviously, who have less, and that's a problem. Because if you're having less sex, it can be one of several things. It could be that things aren't working right? And if your penis is not able to help you engage in sexual function, that's a bad sign, because it means that the blood vessels of the body aren't functioning correctly, because that's how the penis is able to achieve an erection. So that's an important warning sign. That's why we're joking around that it's the dipstick for the body.
Or the barometer, if you will.
Dipstick. We can't say dipstick, Doc. It's FCC banned.
So it would be safe to say that less than once a week is deadly, and more than once a week
Joe
is
Joe wants to go home
healthy.
With numbers. Your wife
help
is a big,
me, honey, help!
Your wife is a big Oprah fan.
Oh, right? Whatever Dr. Oz says is like the word of God himself. So
just tell his wife to give it up more often.
Well, Joe's on the right track here. And by the way, it's not because of the calories you burn, because the average event burns about 25 calories. So it's not the half an hour that most folks think they're getting. Mm. But if you can make it last a little longer, that's good for you. And the other part, of course, the equation is that you're in love with somebody and you have that blissful moment of unity, and that's what actually gives women what they really want and need out of the event. So I think there are multiple reasons why it's in our best interest, but again, the broader theme is, instead of being embarrassed about it or childish about it, you begin to say, hey, you know what? I'm not doing it enough. I got to deal with that issue in my life, or it's going to cost me down the road.
Hey, Doc, we read a survey earlier that 51% of insured Americans take some kind of regular prescribed medication.
That's a story out today.
Where do you weigh in on prescribed meds? Is there something you think is just over-prescribed to Americans?
We use most of the medications incorrectly. For every dollar we spend on pharmaceuticals in this country, it costs us another dollar to fix the problem. And that's Institute of Medicine data. I couldn't make this stuff up. So we have a crisis right now in that folks believe that we can heal many of the ailments that plague us with medications. And by the way, pharmaceuticals are absolutely life-saving and life-giving when used correctly. But let's just take the classic example of a 45-year-old gentleman who's got a little extra belly fat. Same for women, by the way, as well. That belly fat's called omentum fat. Sounds like momentum without the M. And so that omentum pulls down the stomach, gives you gastric reflux. It puts pressure on your kidneys, causes high blood pressure. It poisons your liver, causes high cholesterol. And it blocks the ability of insulin to work, so it causes diabetes. I just gave you four diseases caused by one problem. The drugs we use to treat those problems will often worsen your obesity, because beta blockers, which we give for high blood pressure, will actually put weight on you because they slow your metabolism down. And insulin will help you deposit more fat, which we give, obviously, if you've got diabetes. So now you think about it. The medications are painting the crack in the wall, but they're not dealing with the underlying problem, which is why we call the books the You Books, because it's about you. I mean, I can't treat you with that problem unless you lose the weight. Yeah, I can throw medications at you, but that won't help us. Now, the reason that data you gave is so important is it's corollary. If you're on more than six medications, the chance of you're having a drug-drug interaction is 94%. Think about that. So it's not so much the money you're spending on the drugs or the headache of taking them, but you're actually risking your life because you don't know how these drugs work with each other.
Doc, people want to avoid the big C, and there's a part in your book called Your Immune System where someone says, well, is there any vaccine for cancer? If someone wants to avoid the big C, what would be the first advice you would give them?
Number one advice is vitamin D. Vitamin D, which you get from the sun, it converts cholesterol to vitamin D, is very important because it allows the immune system to function at optimal levels. And so, by the way, not just cancer reduction, which has been demonstrated conclusively, but also reduction in heart disease. We also believe that it reduces multiple sclerosis, thyroid disease, and, of course, it's important for bone health.
Now, we're from Seattle, so we don't know this. Where does vitamin D come from?
The Eskimos don't get much sun either, right? So where do they get it from? They get it from cod liver oil. That's why Eskimos can be dark-skinned and live in the Arctic and still not have vitamin D problems. So for most people, they ought to take a vitamin D supplement. They're tiny little pills, no side effects, they're cheap. Take 1,000 units a day if you're a male, 1,200 units a day if you're a female. Simple to incorporate into your diet. Or, frankly, take cod liver oil, which is what I take. Then you get the vitamin D, plus you get healthy oils with you. Another thing that I think is really important for cancer reduction are the crunchy vegetables. You know, the cruciferous vegetables like broccoli and cauliflower, because they have a lutein in them, and lutein helps regenerate the liver cells.
Right. Are curly fries a crunchy vegetable?
No.
Well, I guess strictly speaking, you're right. You got me on that. I hadn't thought about that. That's the next edition of the book.
Dr. Oz.
Folks realize this stuff. They say, my goodness, you know, the liver, right? That's the Rodney Dangerfield of organs. Right? His organ gets no respect. It's your biggest internal organ. It's responsible for detoxifying you, metabolizing your food, and people have no idea how to treat it right.
Dr. Oz, one of the biggest problems facing Americans today is, I think, sleep deprivation. It has all kinds of ramifications on our health. And I have to admit, I'm in pretty good shape, but I just can't turn my brain off at night. I sometimes have to try prescription drugs, which I really don't want to do. I've tried getting into a routine every night so that I can get my body used to the idea.
You don't have a TV in the bedroom?
I don't have a TV.
The bedroom is just for sex and sleeping? I've read some of your book, Doc. Okay, what else?
Exactly. And I'm just wondering, what else can I do? Because I suspect I'm not alone on this.
You're not. It's really important. The growth hormone that we need to maintain vitality, sexuality, all those cool things you associate with youth are generally driven by growth hormone. And the best way of increasing growth hormone is to sleep. You need about 7 hours if you're a woman. Men are needier, so they need about 7.5 hours. And the best way to get sleep, by the way, 50% of us have problems sleeping once we're over the age of 50. And sleep hygiene is one of the best ways of addressing those problems. And 50% of us can benefit from this. So here are a couple basic things. Number one, you want to turn the lights down about a half an hour before you go to sleep. Because remember, our ancestors would see the sun go down. The pineal gland, the big gland in our brain, would release melatonin. We'd get tired. We'd fall asleep. Today, we get off the computer, and then boom, we want to get in bed and hit the sack and fall asleep. You can't fall asleep. You got to glide into sleep. So a half an hour, dimming the lights, let the chemicals kick in your brain. You want a cool room, loose-fitting clothes. You don't want a mattress. Always invest in a mattress. Never be cheap on a mattress. You don't want the mattress to trap heat, and you want it to be right for your back. And then if you put those together, it generally works pretty well. Milk, as it turns out, warm milk does work because it gives you precursors for chemicals in your brain that induce sleep, plus there's a little sugar in the milk, and so that actually allows those chemicals to get into your brain. So that's why that age-old remedy really is pretty effective.
Dr. Oz, could you hold a seminar or something for doctors everywhere to be as personable as you are? Because every doctor I've ever gone to, you ask a question and they're rushing you out of the office and they have no personality. I mean, what can I do to deal with my doctor to even go in and solve these problems?
Well, in fairness, what ends up happening is you go to medical school, and by the way, the book is all about what we learn the first couple years of med school. It's fun. It's exciting. We enjoy the whole process. And then you go to practice, and you answer the same questions 500 times. It's not so much fun anymore. But here's what you
not my problem.
That's fair.
Yeah, but
that's
here's,
fair.
Yeah, I think it makes a big difference. You go into your doctor's office. You remember the word doctor means teacher. Don't go in there looking for an answer. Go in there as a student with your work done ahead of time, a little bit of background readings, get you ready to go, and then come in with a tape recorder and a notepad.
So for this, it would be helpful if I had some sort of an owner's manual for my body before I went in there.
That would be helpful.
Yes, it's a good way to end the interview. Dr. Mehmet Oz, great work. You have a wonderful way of explaining things. Thank you very much. The owner's manual link will be right on our website, bobrivers.com. Take care.
Take care.